Yes, I speak a little bit. The red-headed pilot smiled at her. Then slowly and suggestively, he looked her up and down. Ellen realized his actions were for the amusement of his colleagues. She knew she was not much of a sight to behold at this moment. Immediately, she determined the man to be a pig, but she also told herself she could use this distraction to her advantage. Some of the other men leaned in closer to her as well.
Great,
she said with a wide, friendly smile designed to put the men at ease, although they surely didn't seem on guard.
Ellen Walsh, United Nations.
It was a lie, but it was delivered without a batted eyelash.
I sure am glad to see you boys. I've been stuck here at Al-Fashir for 3 days. I'm looking for transport out of here. Khartoum, Port Sudan. At this point, I'd go just about anywhere to get out of this terminal. I'd be happy to pay you cash for the trouble. I'm sure my office could work it out with your employer.
The lecherous pilot clearly didn't understand every word. His head cocked a couple of times. She knew she was speaking a little fast. The pace of her words seemed to follow along with her elevated heart rate.
Perhaps we can make an arrangement. Join us for dinner first, please, and we will discuss this.
Delighted.
Ellen sat, smiled, but she could tell this guy wasn't going to let her fly on his plane. He was stringing her along for personal reasons. She knew now that a flight out on this mysterious aircraft was too much to hope for, but she would string this bastard right along as well, to see if she could glean information from him or even just get a closer glimpse at the Aleutian or its cargo. Two could play the game he was playing. She leaned in close to him.
«Что вы делаете?»
came a voice from the end of the table. Ellen looked to the speaker, saw that somehow she had miscounted the Russians before. There were 6 men at the table, not 5, and this 6th man was asking a question of the pilot. He, like the majority of these guys, wore a thick beard and scruffy hair. His was longer than the others. He seemed more athletic than the rest, and darker complected. When the pilot did not answer him, he repeated himself.
«Что вы делаете?» «What do you mean, what am I doing?» replied Gennady in Russian. «I'm asking this lovely woman to have dinner with us.»
«You must not allow her on the aircraft», Kort said flatly, straining his Russian abilities to do so. Gennady looked at him and replied,
«You do not tell me who I can and cannot allow on my plane. I don't know who you are, but I know who I am. I am the pilot. I am in charge.»
Kort looked away. His eyes drifted back out over the concourse, turning away from what was beginning to look more and more like a fucking mess in the making. The Canadian woman introduced herself as Ellen. She shook each man's hand with a smile. Kort did not make eye contact when he shook her hand limply and grunted out the name, Victor.
So, where are you guys from?
We are Russian, said Gennady.
Russian? Wow, neat.
Kort turned to study the woman's face carefully now, like an art student studying the brushstrokes of an oil painting on a museum wall.
What brings you gentlemen to Darfur?
Play cool, Gennady, Kort said to himself in Russian.
What is your job with UN?
The Russian pilot asked warily, responding to a question with a question and not exactly playing cool in Kort's eyes. The woman smiled at the Russian, asked him to repeat himself, though Kort sensed she understood him well. Gentry was trained to look for clues in the limbic system, the part of the brain that controls subconscious actions. Kort knew how to discern the movements and expressions and postures that were indicators of deception. This woman glanced away quickly to the right when asked what she did, and to Kort, this was a signal that she was going to attempt to deceive with the next words out of her mouth. That she delayed by asking him to repeat himself was only more indication that a deceptive or untrue answer was being prepared and would soon be on the way. Finally, she replied,
Oh, I'm just an administrative officer for relief supplies.
She shrugged her shoulders.
Logistics and such, nothing very interesting.
Her right arm reached across her body and rubbed her left arm. Bullshit, thought Kort. Gennady, on the other hand, seemed eased by her air of nonchalance.
Yes, well, we bring oil equipment into Darfur,
the pilot said as the Egyptian waiter brought steaming cups of tea to the table. Kort wasn't satisfied with Gennady's answer. He'd much prefer he'd said it was none of her business, but at least he didn't say he was schlepping in tons of belt-fed machine guns and ammo. The woman seemed perplexed, and Gentry's built-in trouble meter flickered higher up the dial.
I see,
she said, but her body language indicated that she did not. A micro-expression on her face revealed excitement, not confusion.
I would have thought the Chinese would use their own equipment.
The Chinese? Why are you speaking of the Chinese? We Russians are experts in oil. Much oil in Siberia,
Gennady said with a smile that he likely thought was sexy. Court's research of the Sudan and the oil situation during the last 2 weeks afforded him with knowledge that, obviously, this Ellen Walsh woman would also have. The Chinese had control over all the oil exploration sites in the Darfur region. It was clear that Gennady did not know this.
Oh,
she feigned surprise, but Court picked up clues that she recognized that the Russian pilot was lying to her about the cargo. She let it go and began spooning dingy gray sugar into her tea, even as the waiter placed it in front of her. Was her hand trembling?
Why are you an Alfasher?
Gennady asked. She hesitated, again reaching a hand across her body to rub her other arm, both covering herself and comforting herself with the action. Obvious tells of anxiety and deception to a trained body language expert such as the gray man.
I came out to survey the Zamzam IDP camp. Unfortunately, my staff didn't have all my documents and permissions in order, so they won't let me out of the airport. I'm really desperate for a ride out of here.
She looked at the pilot again, and he back at her. He raised his eyebrows suggestively, but did not offer her a seat on his aircraft. Gennady said nothing.
Have you been to Darfur before?
Yes, the pilot answered cockily. Many times.
The woman nodded, still smiling.
It's horrible out here. 450,000 murdered in the past 8 years, and no end in sight. Millions more in the camps, either here or over the border in Chad.
Duh, said Gennady. War is very bad.
Court wanted to reach across the table and slap the insincerity off his face. After a few seconds, Ellen said,
That plane of yours is awesome. It's an Ilyushin, isn't it? Looks like some we have in our inventory.
Quickly, she added,
I ship a lot of cargo in my job, though I've never actually been in a cargo plane.
It is an Ilyushin. An excellent Russian aircraft, said Gennady,
and Walsh nodded along with him, seeming to fawn all over his words.
Here is some pilot trivia for you, Ellen said with an excited smile. Did you know Amelia Earhart landed here at Alfasher on her attempt to circle the globe?
Gennady cocked his head a little.
Who?
Amelia Earhart. The female pilot? The famous female pilot who disappeared flying around the world in 1937.
Gennady just looked at her.
Surely you have heard...
I have never heard of this woman, but I am not surprised she disappeared. Women do not make good pilots,
he said, as if this were the most basic fact of aeronautics. A dismissive wave of his hand and a loud slurp of tea followed his comment. Court caught the woman dropping her veil of admiration for the Russian man and revealing her true feelings of disgust. But the veil rose again almost instantly.
Well, I've heard great things about Russian aircraft and the Ilyushin. Our UN planes do the job, but they are a bit boring. Do you think I could possibly get a closer look at your beautiful plane? Don't worry, I won't try to fly it. I'd probably just disappear.
Her smile was wide, friendly, and Court recognized a total sham. Gennady just smiled back at her a long time without answering. He gave his shoulders a shrug, but it was a shrug that indicated anything was possible. Some of the other Russians asked her questions in broken English. If she was married, no. Where was she from? Vancouver. How long she'd been in the Sudan? A month. Court saw no deception in any of the answers she gave, but he did notice her looking at him, perhaps picking up on his scrutiny of her, and this caused Gentry to look away again.
They are all buying it except the darker one. He is suspicious. He knows I am full of shit.
Ellen tried to give a big smile to the man at the end of the table, but he turned away, bored. Unlike the rest of the crew, he did not leer at her. No, Other than his earlier comment to Gennady, he had not been part of the conversation, but it was clear to her that he was listening. Either he understood her perfectly, or he was struggling to do so. But more important than the quiet man at the end of the table was the big airplane at the end of the taxiway. She just had to get a closer look at it, take a picture or two, somehow get some more intelligence on this flight into the heart of North Darfur. She wondered if even now the GOS army was taking the cargo off of the plane.
Will you have to unload the airplane yourself, or do you have someone from the oil company to do it?
The Sudanese will do it, said Gennady,
and immediately followed with,
It will be an hour more, at least. My men will go back and help them, but I can stay with you and enjoy another tea.
He smiled, she smiled, and the quiet man at the end of the table looked to his pilot. He spoke to him in Russian. Ellen did not understand a word.
I don't trust her. Too many questions.
Court said it in Russian and was totally unconcerned that the woman would recognize his distrust from his tone. Gennady looked away from the woman and towards Gentry, his reply in Russian as well.
I don't need to trust her. I'm not going to marry her. I'm going to fuck her. She'd look okay with a bath and some makeup.
Court sighed.
We leave in 2 hours.
I don't mean now, although that is plenty of time. I mean on my next trip to Khartoum. I am setting the table right now. When I next go to Khartoum, I will eat my meal.
Ellen followed the conversation around the table with her eyes. Obviously, she did not understand. Court sighed again. He thought about dropping Sidorenko's name. This would likely terrify Gennady into complying with his unauthorized passenger. But he did not.
Let's just get our food and return to the plane. That is a good idea. You and the boys leave me and Miss Canada alone.
Gennady laughed heartily, as did the other men. Court just looked away, angry, but controlling his anger.
Why do I get the feeling you are talking about me?
Ellen Walsh asked with a smile. Court stood without a word and began heading back to the aircraft. He wouldn't wait for his food. He'd just eat the dry rations in his bag. Chapter 17. Gentry stopped again in the restroom. He washed his face slowly to calm himself. He decided to pop some hydrocodone when he got back to his backpack. It would help him relax on the flight back to Belarus, and it couldn't hurt anything. He wouldn't be operational again for a few days. But first he had to watch out for this Canadian woman. Personally, he was all for someone taking note of what the Russians were doing here, calling a newspaper, an international organization, blowing the lid off of the sanctions violations. But just not right now. Court would need this shady arrangement to continue at least until his operation was complete. A Westerner making trouble for the Rosoborone export flights, thereby throwing a wrench into his means of insertion into the Sudan, absolutely could not be tolerated. He'd just turned the spigot off and dried his hands on his coveralls when the navigator entered behind him. He nodded to the American and said,
Gennady is taking the girl to show her the plane.
Court could tell the navigator was not crazy about the idea, but the Russian just shrugged good-naturedly about it.
Vladi and I have a bet. I think he's going to do her in the cockpit. Vladi said Gennady's going to get his face slapped. You want in on the bet, friend?
Unlike the navigator, Gentry had no intention of taking the pilot's obscene breach of operational security in stride. He stormed past the thick man and out into the concourse. He saw the woman and Gennady walking towards the stairwell to the side exit, she with her backpack on her shoulder, he with his plate of food in his hand.
For God's sake, Court said softly.
He thought about grabbing Gennady by his mop of red hair, dragging him into a corner, and telling him he was going to call the St. Petersburg mob, who had set up his mission in the first place. One call from Court, and Sid would have Gennady's family thrown into a van in half an hour flat. Gennady would do what he was told if only Gentry dropped Sidorenko's name. Then, Court saw the airport security officials, standing around, bored, behind a high counter. Yes, this was his best option. He could impress upon the Sudanese that this UN do-gooder was hassling the secret flight of Russian armaments. It would make trouble for the woman, no question about it, but only until he and the Russians got into the air. If she and her curiosity could just be held in check until wheels up, Cort could be on his way and get this wasted day behind him. Cort's operational security would remain in place. The woman from the UN would learn nothing that would impede this flight or his next flight in 3 days' time, and the Russian aircrew would not learn anything they did not need to know about Gentry and his employers.
English?
Cort asked the bored young airport security policeman. The African shook his head, as did the man next to him.
Francais?
Again, a shake of both heads.
Okay,
said Cort in English, before reluctantly switching to Arabic.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam,
came the polite but officious-sounding reply from both men. Cort continued in Arabic.
I must speak to your superior.
What is the problem?
I am with Russian plane. There is small security problem.
The policeman nodded, spoke softly into a handheld radio. Cort did not understand the rapid Sudanese Arabic. The cop looked back up at Gentry.
Wait one moment.
In under a minute, two small-framed, bearded men in black coats and ties appeared. One was probably not yet 30, the other a decade or so older. Their suits were uniform. Gentry noticed the imprint of handguns on their hips, and he immediately suspected these men were from the National Security Service, the Sudanese secret police.
Oops, thought Cort. Not these assholes.
He'd not intended to make that much fuss over the woman. Both NSS men spoke English, and Cort took the senior officer aside. He was small and wiry, and he wore thick glasses with frames too wide for his oval face. There was nothing menacing or threatening about him, but the fact was he and his subordinate held authority over all around. Security guards, airport officials, local police, even the government of Sudan officers and enlisted men here knew to stay out of the way of the NSS. Cort said,
"The woman, the white woman, who is she?"
The man shrugged and waved his hands dismissively.
"She is Canadian. We were told not to let her out of the airport grounds, but not to arrest her. She is just UNAMID relief worker. All her papers are in order, except she did not have the stamp in her documents to allow her entry into Zamzam camp."
"I think she wants to make trouble for us."
"She is not important. She is just a Kawaga, stuck here at the airport, waiting to go back to Khartoum."
"A Kawaga?"
"A white person, sorry."
"She is asking questions about the aircraft and the cargo."
That got the NSS man's attention. He seemed to put together the fact that the Rosan-Buran export flight was not supposed to be in Darfur, and a Westerner was here, putting that very fact together herself. Cort felt bad about turning the woman into operatives of the National Security Service. They were Tier 1 assholes, Cort knew. He'd hoped to just arouse the interest of airport security. But now, like it or not, the NSS was involved. If they acted on his information, she'd no doubt be detained for hours. Who knew, Cort thought to himself, she might even get tossed out of the country if they were worried enough about her interest in the Russians. No more passing out blankets and bottled water for her. Still, he needed to get on with his mission. His mission was paramount, and he was not above using these NSS goons to help him shoo this annoying little bug out of his face. The NSS man looked out the dirty window towards the runway. The daylight was fading fast, and the IL-76 was out of view, several hundred meters back off to the left.
"Our orders were to keep any NGO flights away while you were on the ground. No one said anything about the people who were already here."
The man seemed worried about his own skin. This didn't bother Cort. It would certainly be a great motivator for him. Cort said,
"I suggest you just take her into your office until we leave. She has not seen the cargo. She knows nothing. She has no idea we're from Rosan-Buran Export."
Cort wasn't going to mention that she'd initially approached the Ilyushin and had all but begged to be allowed on board, as that might just invite more trouble for her than he needed her to face. No, a little concern on the part of this man was all that was required to defuse the situation and put the matter to bed. Gentry was beginning to feel confident that everything would work out just fine. The man nodded somewhat appreciatively.
"Okay, yes, okay. We will have a talk with her.
10 minutes later, the two NSS men escorted an extremely anxious-looking but obedient Ellen Walsh into a small office off the main concourse of the terminal. Following them into the room were the Russian pilot and Court gentry. Court had wanted to just board the aircraft with the crew and get the hell out of here, but Gennady had insisted on coming along for the woman's interview with the NSS, and there was no way Gentry was going to let him do that by himself. Gennady was mad at the Sudanese for interrupting his seduction of the attractive woman, but he apparently thought that if he could help her in the questioning to stand up to these third-world goons, then he'd have her swooning into his bed on his next flight into Khartoum. But Court could tell the Russian was furious with him. They gave each other eat-shit stares while they stood on either side of Walsh. Gennady obviously put together that the American had turned Ellen into security. The Russian probably thought, Court guessed, that this was nothing more than a cock block born out of the American's jealousy at the